Brandon, calling the meeting to order at 7:30 PM. And I'm going to appoint Tom Crockett for Steve Clark. Next item of business is the approval of minutes.
I make a motion to accept the minutes as is.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second.
So Tom Crockett moved and Arlene Fiano seconded?
Yes.
Thank you.
Any discussion?
No, is Jeremy attending?
Yes.
Okay. I move that we adopt the minutes.
We just did that.
We just did that. I thought we were approving.
We're discussing. Do you have any discussion?
No, I just finished.
Okay, we have a motion and a second, and there's appears not to be any further discussion. All in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed, no?
Jim Cropley, I abstain.
What is this vote for?
Minutes.
It's approval of the minutes.
Okay. Am I a voting member tonight or no?
No. We have thank you. Thank you. Hold on.
Okay.
So I have a technical question. I wasn't here last time. You can still vote on the minutes if you've read them and you've listened to the tape, right?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure I wasn't overstepping my.
Yeah, you told me that, so I knew. Okay. Residence forum.
Excuse me, just one second. Is Tom Robbins in the room?
Yes, he is.
Okay, I didn't see him enter. Sorry, Tom, missed you. All right, so the vote would have been 7-0.
No.
Jim Crockett.
6-1.
I abstain.
With Crockett abstaining. Okay, I'm sorry.
Does my vote count this tonight? No.
You have not been seated. Thank you for being here. We need you, but.
Okay.
Great. Tom Crockett was the alternate that was seated tonight. There's only one missing member.
Okay. Thank you.
Residence forum. I don't see any residents.
There's nobody on the thing either.
And there's no one on the Zoom call either. Staff reports.
Still going through the subdivision regulations. I'm almost complete with that. I've been going back through the zoning regulations for other items that have been issues or whatever in the past. So trying to compile the rest of that, although I haven't found a lot, but we're going to discuss a couple of them tonight. And one of the items that's come up recently is some housing. I don't know if you all realize that the 6 units on Loomis Street, that Mr. Bugnacki is building, he is getting ready for a CO. For those. And he told us the other day when he came in to figure out what he needed to finish the project for the CO, that he has a waiting list of 30 people.
Wow.
And he has not advertised yet.
So when's he building the next ones?
I'm just saying. So if we thought there was a need, I think there's a need. He's also had some people call who maybe didn't meet the 62 and were wondering if he had anything that was not, you know, that was just apartments, something for rent. So It's just, it just want to let you know that it's been interesting that way.
Well, when I wasn't even the architect, but it was this affordable housing project down in New London. And people would see me in my hard hat and they'd stop me and they'd say, how can I get in on that?
Yeah, I believe it. And I don't know what his rents are going for, but I mean, I don't think they're going to be, I don't think they'll qualify as affordable anyway. So, no. But we'll find that out just to see what he gets and kind of keep track of it. But I just thought that was kind of fascinating. Hasn't even put an ad out or anything. It's just been people who've either driven by or maybe seen it in the minutes or whatever, but 30 on a waiting list.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah. I thought so. Well, we don't have any kind of housing like that at all in town, really. I mean, you've got the lake house and then there's some other apartments here and there, but there's nothing. So.
I think it's pretty much everywhere in Connecticut, at least up in central or northern Connecticut. I mean, I'm not doing anywhere near the appraisals I used to do. I used to be doing a multifamily, taking pictures of people and saying, oh, are you the landlord? And I said, no. Do you know the landlord? I said, no, I'll just do the appraiser. People would stop in a car. They leave me the phone. They even give me their phone number. Look, it's bad out there. It really is. It's tough.
Yep.
You know, years ago, we had a forum at the town hall and we had people come in from the public and we had all these stations set up of what people wanted and they would put stickers on it. And the affordable housing for seniors and just lower cost housing was one of the things that, and that had to be, I don't know, I think I've been on this committee for 15 years or 16 years. And so that had to be like 12, 13 years ago. And it was a big thing then.
We did it for the POCD in the school cafeteria, Jim. Is that what you were talking about? Because that was done
in years, but before that.
Before that, okay.
We lost you, Jim.
Yeah, we did that. We did it in the town hall.
Okay.
This is, I think, the first year I was ever on the commission, and that was one of the things that people wanted.
I think we have to think of it more than what people want, but what people need. You know, it's getting to that point of need now.
I don't know if you'll be able to distinguish need from want, but you know, I don't know what kind of questions he's going to ask. I don't know how he's going to. I don't know if it's going to be first come, first serve. Those are some, you know, things I want to ask him too. How he makes the determination of who gets the units. I presume maybe it's first come, first serve, as long as you pass, you know, whatever survey or questionnaire he has for you. I don't know.
Okay. Was there any other staff reports? We can talk about some of these other issues under item 7.
Yeah, I have nothing else. Mike is at the vet with his dog. He said he's going to try and join us. So when he comes on, he can give you his report. I don't have anything from him at this point.
Patrice, can I interject real quick? This is Jeremy Flick.
Sure.
I'm driving through the Navajo reservation right now, and I'm going to get dropped again.
Okay.
I'm going to have to excuse myself. I apologize, folks. I'm on vacation with the family, and I thought I could call in, but we're in the middle of nowhere here.
Not a problem. We have a couple of alternates in waiting right now. So we're all set, Jeremy. Thank you, though, for trying.
Absolutely. Y'all have a wonderful day, and I'll see you next month.
Okay. Thanks, Jeremy. Enjoy your time.
Enjoy.
Yes, sir. Be well. Bye.
Bye.
Okay. As Jeremy is unable to attend, I'm going to appoint Diane seat Diane for him. I don't see anything under either old business or new business.
We don't have any applications. I have nothing under old or new to discuss. Just the continuing discussion in the regulations.
I just had a quick question.
Yes.
How about the gas station / convenience store down on Route 6 across from Munson? Is that, what's the status on that?
quite far along.
Slow going.
I'm going?
Slow going.
Slow going. I know. I haven't bought in a couple of weeks. I haven't seen anything in 6 months going on down there.
How old is that project that you have in East Hartford? That gas station?
It's 5 years old and it's just now.
I don't know.
Sometimes it can be very slow going.
Yeah, I know they just came in recently for their sign permits, I think. So,
oh, there you go.
Other than I don't know the status of the rest of it.
They haven't started anything, have they?
Yeah, there's a building there.
Now, they think. Building now?
Yeah.
Oh, I'll be by maybe a month then. I don't know. Last time I went by, I didn't see
anything. You can't see through the pile of wood, right?
Yeah, it's all loud enough. You know, you drive by it every day.
Actually, they were installing fixtures.
Oh, is that Jim?
They were installing store fixtures today when I went by.
Okay.
There you go.
And they haven't asked us for a CO yet, but I would imagine they're getting close if they ask for fine permits.
And citizen Andrew Lodiga is in the audience.
Okay.
I think this is a good, going on to item number 7, ongoing discussion of the Walton subdivision and zoning regulations. I think this is a good time to look at this, the table of permitted uses.
Right. So what I, just so you know what's in front of you, there was the table of permitted uses that has been marked up in red. And the red comments are from Jeff Scala, who was a commissioner when we started this project. These are just his suggestions. And then there was something from Kwan, which is the first page, key determinations and definitions, which is what I left for you. So those two things. I don't know if you want to work off of those or the table's the same. It's just the changes that he was suggesting are in red. If you take the red out, then that was the original table.
Okay. And do you know what the staff notation means?
Yes. I think he felt that farm stands could be issued through the staff looking at a site plan, for example. So those would be staff.
But isn't that the case in all site plans?
No, I think he meant as opposed to the site plan going to the commission.
Okay.
So where it says staff, it would be staff level approval, no commission approval. And if you compare, couldn't combine the two lists, but if you look at Kwan's list, he does have the items listed, and then he's got next to it, and he's on the line here, so he can describe this if he needs to, but next to it, he's got what I think he thinks should be the way something would get reviewed. So a grocery store would be special use permit. Business or professional office, not required unless doctor's office plans to have x-ray machine. So he's got a number of things here noted. I don't know how to, I suppose I could try and combine the two so we could see the comments that way. I can't do it right now, but I mean, I could do it for the next meeting if you think that would help.
So I will say, back when I did this exercise back August of last year, my approach was more of a broad, paintbrush type of stroke to everything. Whereas I would say Jeff actually went in and did the definitions or the actual different classifications like general business, neighborhood business zones, rural mixed use zones. I did it more on a holistic broad approach where in my definition, if anything, a resident would be subjected to anything that they can ingest, absorb, inhale, any type of safety concerns when it comes with product or chemicals or food. I took the broad approach of saying yes, a special permit would be required. X-ray machined at a doctor's office that Patrice highlighted in her comment that for me that would require a special use permit. Obviously, the doctors, everything, if they have an x-ray machine, that x-ray machine needs to be certified, approved. So we would want to make sure that that particular avenue is covered through special use permit to make sure our safety concerns are relieved.
Right, Quan. I think right in the beginning of what you sent us, it talks about how you were looking at this from protecting the public health and safety.
Correct.
Right.
Patrice, Jim Cropley, I have a question. So if a doctor's office came in and just wanted to be a doctor's office, then all of a sudden they added an extra machine or dentist's office, I mean, can we rate that?
Well, so I don't think we know that outside of whether or not it would require some kind of permit from the building department if they added something like that, unless they added building to put it in, I'm not Correct. Sure we would know that. I'm not sure we would even know that.
But if say there was a building in town, a doctor moved in, I mean, can we regulate that they need a site plan?
Yeah, we do now.
But whether it has an x-ray machine or not, I mean, is that something we can asking a question?
Yeah, I mean, we can ask what kind of equipment they have. I'm assuming that if there's certain electrical requirements or whatever, the building department would know that sort of thing. I don't know how nitty gritty we would get for something like that. I know, like, for example, it's the vet. When the vet came in and he showed us a floor plan, he showed us the area where they take x-rays and where they're performing this. Of course, they're a hospital, so it's a little different. It's kind of obvious that they would have all of that equipment and what have you. So it might be a little different from just a regular doctor office that has maybe, two or three rooms, the staff room and whatever. Maybe they don't have all that. So you're right, Jim. I don't know if it's something that we would know offhand.
Right. And can we rate, I mean, other than the building department, we can't rate whether they have a x-ray machine or
no, we can't regulate that. I mean, they can have it if there are certain requirements for that, the use of that machine. That's up to them to be getting it certified or getting it looked at or whatever it is. Yeah, it's not something we would regulate. I think what Kwan is saying is if it's a doctor's office, maybe a larger doctor's office that has that kind of equipment, he's looking to see that the commission gets a look at it as opposed to just going through staff review. And I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, Kwan. I just, that's what I'm.
Yeah, and I agree with that. Again, it goes back to the safety standpoint. Obviously, we wouldn't be I don't think we would be regulating. I think it would be more of a conversation saying, hey, are you going to make sure, it's kind of holding someone accountable, to make sure they are doing their due diligence if they're going to have that type of equipment that's going to emit giving out radiation. We want to make sure that they're on the hook to make sure they're doing what needs to be done to make sure that equipment is safe and operates properly.
Is there an agency that is in charge of that?
The public health. I understand the approach. I think that's the important thing, because I was looking at it from a point of view of which zone is this in, but it's not. This would be in any zone, all zones, if we were going to have, if it was going to be a permitted use at all. Kwan would like a grocery store to have a special use permit. Mm-hmm.
So let me clarify that. Kwan, did you mean that a grocery store could be in any zone, or did you mean where they're allowed they should be a special use?
Yeah, I didn't go as far as to define the type of land jurisdiction, the type of zone. I would say yes, where they are appropriately allowed, they will be required, to have a special use permit.
Okay.
For the type of business that I had that's listed.
So it, one of the things that's come up in discussing housing, for example, is the regulation that we have that says you can have multifamily housing in the general business zone, I think it is, but it has to be on the second floor of the business below. The business has to be on the first floor. The housing has to be on the second floor, and 20% of it has to be affordable. Now, just taking the affordable part of it out of it, I know some members on this commission have had a discussion with staff about how banks are not real keen to lend on those kind of construction projects where you have a mixed use like that. We've had several inquiries about, well, can't I just build apartments in the business zone without having the business component, or could I build a separate business and a separate apartment building? And the answer to that with the current regulations is no. And I think maybe the commission might want to rethink that. Had that regulation in effect, since prior to me getting here, so since prior to 2013, and I'm not exactly sure when that went into effect, but we've never had an application under that. We've had a lot of inquiries about it and how it can get used before the dentist office was built on Route 44. That property was looked at from that perspective, and he just couldn't make it work with business on the bottom and apartments on the top. So, you know, one of the things I do know is we have very limited business zone property and industrial zone property. So you don't want to start using it up with residential uses. But you do have R2 zone property, which is where we allow the multifamily uses. So I don't know how the commission feels about that. I don't know if you want to relook at that, but I think at a minimum, you might want to either soften up on the mixed use requirements or look at it some in a different way. That's one of the things we see as a question that comes in.
I understand the strategy that led the commission to do that, which is basically we don't want to be taxing all the homes. We want to bring in more business. So if you're going to bring in more homes, we want business to come along with it. It's a however, it just doesn't happen to work and. I for one would be willing to revisit that.
I would agree with Tom. I think kind of stood the test of time on new businesses coming in. I still can't believe there's a general dollar in Bolton. but there is. I mean, I just don't see it. The need for housing is such. I think that would help the school district with some kids in the schools. And, you know,
we don't have the residential zones on this list.
Right. You just said this is just the business and industrial uses. The only other two that aren't on here is R and R2.
And if I were doing it, I would say that we might want to make one and two family as of right. And then threeplexes and fourplexes in as a special permit use, so they'd have to be a public hearing, and then make multi three family form four family and multifamily as of right uses in the R2 zone, something like that.
As of right in the R2 zone.
Yeah, right.
So if somebody right now you were allowed up to 48 units, as long as you can start out with 70,000 square feet, and then you add so many square feet per unit, whatever, up to 48 units. So you're saying you would allow staff to take a look at a 48 unit complex in the R2 zone without having to come through the commission?
Yes.
I don't know. If you get something that big going in, I think.
I don't know about that. I mean, I think you should tighten up a little bit.
About that.
I mean, I could see our forefathers having heart attacks if, I think I definitely think we should do away with the business on the bottom. And I mean, that's almost impossible in this day and age to do something like that. I mean, in our location, I mean, if you're in West Hartford, I think that's great because you have that city unit going on. But, you know, to have a business that's there during the day with cars there, and then at night there's cars there, I mean, are people going to approach the business and think they're open? Because there's got to be parking lot lighting and everything else. So I think that we definitely look into that, but I'm not quite sure I like the staff approve 48 unit complex.
I'm not hanging for you people.
Well, I used as of right lightly. My intention was that it be site plan review by the commission, just not a public hearing.
It wouldn't have to go through a public hearing is what you're saying.
Yeah, right.
I think what you should do is you shouldn't require the mixed use, but I think if somebody has a business complex and they want to put apartments above it and they can find a way to do that, I don't see a problem with doing that. I just don't think it should be required. So I guess going back to the planning aspect of this, I think you should save your business zones for business purposes. But if you have a business that goes in and somebody wants to put apartments on the top of the second floor of a business, then I think they should be allowed to do that. I just don't think they should be forced to do that. But I also don't think you should be building apartments in your business zone. You should be building them in either the R2 zone or the residential zones. I don't know. It's interesting.
I agree with you, Patrice. We don't have enough business areas. They should stay business areas. But if somebody wants to put housing above it, I think that's great.
What is the status of our R2 zones? Do we have room for expansive housing in the R2s?
I have I think I had the zoning map up here. Hang on.
This
one is easier. Give me 1 second here to pull it up. Okay. So anything that's yellow when it comes up. Anything that's yellow. So up here on this, on the Coventry end, all along the back of Route 6 and along Route 6. So there's
you can't build in there.
You can't build in some of it, but some of this
is basically the Hop River Basin, and that's all difficult.
Some of it is, right. But there are areas in here that are not. There's areas over here that are okay. You've got this other area over here on this side. And I don't even know what this is. This is up off of, I don't know. Is that the back of, is that the cider mill? That must be the side.
That's off Carpenter Road.
Carpenter Road, sorry, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, there's Carpenter Road right there. There's Bolton Center, Carpenter, and
And then you've got this little on Bolton end of Bolton Center Road down here as well. And I think that's it. Everything else is neighborhood business and residential.
So we're talking about really two kinds of sites that are threatened, and that is the business site and R2. So where are we going to put our housing?
Well, R2 is where it's multifamily is allowed.
Yeah.
Right. What's that triangular one over there by
Over here?
Yeah.
Oh, I think this is the green piece. That's the driving range, right?
I think so. I think this piece is the drive-in.
Yes. Why isn't that R2? What is that classified as?
Residential.
Just plain old residential? Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
I don't know if it's something you know, maybe you want to look and see if you want to expand the zone, the R2 zone elsewhere. That's, you know, that's up to the.
How are we going to attract multi-housing opportunities, you know, if we don't have a place to build it? Because, you know, I grew up around.
that's gotta be Freya Park. Freya Park.
Freya.
Freya Park.
Yeah.
This is the green piece is the drive-in.
Yeah. Oh, you're right. But the drive-in property is right up on the lake, I thought.
No.
No.
It is.
Yeah, it is.
It's right on
the pond.
It's on the pond. Yeah.
On the pond, not the lake. The pond, sorry. Excuse me.
Yeah. Yeah.
The drive-in is
garage.
Not. Yes, the drive. The old drive-in property is on the Notch Pond. Notch
right. Pond.
And
it's substantial in size, and it's been vacant for a long time.
They want too much money.
Well, you know, maybe if you make it R2, maybe that will loosen up someone's pockets a little bit.
Probably is.
We really haven't had anybody. All right, so here's the. So maybe you're right, Tom. This shape.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So if I go back to the, whoops, where did it go?
Is there access to it from anywhere, like the state parking lot or something?
To this?
To the drive-in.
Yeah, there's access to it.
Okay.
Two entrances.
Yeah.
Okay.
We Mike and I spent months talking to a group who thought they were going to come in and do apartments there, and that it just all fell apart. It was, and I believe, Mike, you can pipe up if you want, but I believe it was money. I mean, they got to the point where it just wasn't feasible for them.
I think that density also, they're limited with the number of units they could get on that site, which basically means that even if their costs go up, they can't recoup it with the units.
Right. So what might change is if, you know, there's sewer available to it or water available to it. And I know that's maybe one of the items that's on the discussion table for the selectmen as to, you know, what they may or may not do with water and sewer along 44. But that could solve that issue, maybe, potentially, if they had sewer and water access. But that's a ways off. That's not like going to happen tomorrow or the next year.
Well,
the cider mill property. What is that? That what zone is that?
Go back here. Sorry. So that is in the GMUIZ. So that's right here in the corner. And he, last time he met with us, which was several years ago, you know, he was talking about, it was pre-COVID, he was talking about some businesses, like a business complex along the street, and then some sort of apartments or multifamily housing or whatever up in the back area. And of course, then COVID hit and his whole business plan changed, so.
And across the street, that yellow that's striped with the green or striped with the black, what zone is that?
The striping is just an overlay for the aquifer protection zone. Otherwise, it's
okay.
Green.
Okay.
So it's GMUIZ.
The Snyder Mill property got a for sale sign on it.
Yeah, it changes every couple of years. There's a new sign that goes up with a different group.
So that, that R2 actually extends all the way down to Cider Mill Road.
Right. So that we could have a whole neighborhood up there.
Right in here, yeah.
Yeah, just connecting all those empty pieces, you know, with a one road, you could have a whole, probably multi types of things. You could have condos, you could have in low income, single family housing, you could have senior housing, you know, on a, in a group home kind of thing. You could really have so many things going on there on that one sort of neighborhood.
It's in an aquifer, so.
So we'd have to have the plumbing there. We'd have to have the sewer.
There's some, I think there's some arrangement with the state of Connecticut that was made when they put the sewer in front of there too, so.
Like you can't use it.
You can't fully develop it as much as you want. I think there's a limit on how many apartments you get in there. I'm not exactly sure, but I don't,
that's
I've heard from a couple.
We'd have to know what the details would be on that. We want to sell that idea. I think we really should be, because I can't think of any other part of town that is more suitable for something of a serious nature. You can do a little house here or a little, you know, duplex there. But when I did, when I was on that defunct now, senior citizen housing authority, it was like 1988, you know, kind of thing. I did a survey for the group of all the apartments that were available in Bolton. And there were no, at that time, it's a while ago, there were no multi bedroom apartments. They were all, even the ones that were in the chicken coops up by the high school, all single bedroom apartments. And that is insufficient to take care of the problems we have today.
Patrice, I have a question again. Do you, is the sewer, someone told me that in a few years, the right for the state gets turned back to the town and they can hook more in. Is that true? So the purpose of the sewers was for the lake.
Right. So the way the loan was taken, the way I understand it is the way the loan was taken, there were restrictions on what you could hook to the sewer. Like the sewer was not put in so that you could all of a sudden, you know, up the density on a piece of property for residential housing. It was there to protect the lake. And all of those decisions go through the Bolton Lakes Water Pollution Control Authority. So in whenever the loan is paid up, I think some of those restrictions come off. But the fact of the matter is you still have a capacity issue. So you still need to be able to, if you're going to now allow certain areas the sewer for use for housing, you still need to have the capacity in the sewer plant. And my understanding is they may have to build some more capacity to do that. But
because wasn't there talk about bringing the sewers right up from like our end of town, Coventry?
Yes, the sewer is going into Coventry to service an area. I think it's 48 lots total. And they're single family because of, I think there's a pollution issue.
Oh, okay.
But it's they're under the same rules, Jim. So they can't, just because you now have sewer on your property, you can't, you know, decide to build a, you know, two or three apartments there too. It's under the same rule.
So it may be still dependent on some sort of septic systems, right?
Problem.
Yeah, I mean,
and therefore we should be looking at all the quote new and improved septic systems that are being used for multi, for heavy use, like at that nursing home in Hebron.
So Tom, Tom Manning, you may be aware of this. I don't know if they've talked about it at the Regional Planning Commission meeting yet or not, but they're looking at the state plan of conservation and development for the state. And they are talking about some of the issues that stand in the way of housing in rural areas like this. And one of them is the fact that how we deal with septic or large septic areas when you have other things that go on just over the state line in Massachusetts that seem to work okay, but for whatever reason, they're not allowed here in Connecticut. So it is one of the things that has been discussed. I don't know whether there'll be any movement on that, but I know when we've talked about this in the past, you know, we'll have people that come in and they'll only go up to a certain amount of units so they don't have to deal with the state for a state approved septic system.
It is a very, very conservative mindset in DEEP.
So I don't know if we've accomplished anything
I think I have a much better understanding of what of what Kwan and Jeff were trying to do. And I think if you took my overall approach, it would be if it's an appropriate use for that zone, then you do it with a site plan. And if it's maybe a little edgy use, you don't want to forbid it, but then maybe it's a special use permit. So, you know, I'm looking at general business and neighborhood business, and they're blank. And I assume that means it's not permitted. It's not a permitted use at all. How come art studios and galleries aren't permitted in general business and neighborhood business?
I noticed that same thing. I think that there's, I don't understand that part.
So, you know, and in general business and neighborhood business, own a bank, financial institution, that'd just be site plan. Business or professional office, site plan. Maybe candy manufacturing is special use permit because it's an industrial use in a general business zone. I mean that would be my approach to revising the table. You know, why is a fitness center only you can only have it as a special use permit in the general mixed-use industrials.
So like sweat theater in a playhouse.
Yeah. So
this is incomplete.
Is that what we've? Well, I think this probably reflects.
This is what the regulations are right now.
That we're in the uses when it's set up like this. The idea is all these are going to come out, and you're just going to have to look at the table. So I think when we fill in the table, we're going to have, I think this is an opportunity to do that. But I'd like to see all the zones on it.
You know,
put it on an 11 by 17 or a legal or tabloid.
Include
all the zones.
So include R and R2?
Right.
Is that what you mean? Okay.
Right. Because we might want to make, I'm pretty sure that right now that single family is permitted everywhere, but maybe we don't want to do that.
It's not permitted in business zones.
General business zone.
Right. Or the RMUC.
Okay. Then we want, that's,
and,
so we
want
to have all the uses. All the uses in all the zones. I just want to see them.
Okay.
And there's nothing that says we have to go to 9 o'clock either.
No. I know that. So you want us to expand the table to include the two residential zones. Do you want us to give you our idea of what staff feels comfortable with approving, or what we
definitely?
I think that's a good start.
Yeah,
Jim, what did you say?
I agree. I most definitely. I think we should have staff because you guys are the ones that are going to take these people, or they're going to see the applications. You're going to. I mean, if you guys know more than we do of what what should be. I mean, like the regulations we've already changed, that we've changed already, is such a huge improvement to what we had before. Because I think the problem is that us as board members think we know, but we don't know. I mean, like, look at the signage regulation.
No, let's not.
Jim, you were on that commission.
Prime example of getting a bunch of people on a committee and just coming up with off the wall things. You know, I mean, I think staff should lead us because they have the experience and the knowledge of what other towns are doing. And if we want to make businesses and other things more friendly in town, I think that all those decisions shouldn't be left to a board decision. Staff should have a huge amount of input on it.
And I think it's also because the board trusts you both. They have a great deal of respect for your professionalism, and we trust you personally, so we're looking for that.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, we need to get this done before you two guys leave, so that you look like superstars. You know, I mean, hey, where did they come up with these ideas? You know, we'll get the credit for it, but you guys did it.
You can have the credit. That's fine.
I still think we should keep Quan's copy here because he has some good ideas on it.
Oh yeah, no, I would actually.
We can mix them back and forth. I just had a quick question. I always thought House of Worship could go in any zone in Connecticut.
I believe it can now. I don't think you can restrict it because if it's a place of gathering, and you allow other places of gathering in a particular zone, you have to allow a House of Worship.
We only allow it in two zones, but we could allow it anywhere. They could maybe even build a floating House of Worship on Bolton Notch Pond if they want it. Yes. That's what
In East Hartford, it's heavily regulated. In Manchester, it's heavily regulated.
House of Worship?
Yeah.
How so?
Well,
I mean, how much regulation can you put on it?
I'm familiar with cases that we've been involved in, because a lot of different people come to us at my firm for different kinds of houses of worship. So we're doing Hindu temples and Muslim mosques and we're doing churches and of all different kinds, and it's something that's very frequently not wanted in one zone or another in East Hartford and Manchester.
Yep.
Wanted or denied. Not wanted or denied.
Well, put enough hoops to have to jump through to, yeah.
Well, we have churches in every zone that I can think of in town. You've got them in the R1, you've got them on Route 44, you've got them.
Not in the industrial zone.
Not in the industrial zone, correct. But other than that, I think you're covered in all the other zones.
Hebron Road, that's residential, all of Hebron Road.
Yep.
And
the one on West Street is in the neighborhood business zone.
And we have conditions in place for ADUs.
Yep, the ADUs, we already did that. That's in the new reg. They're there. We've only had one that I know of applied for.
Once we clean out our house up, first we got to clean out the basement, then we'll start thinking about the ADU. Is there anything else anybody wants to discuss on the subdivision and zoning regulations? If there is not, I will entertain. Let's see, we've got correspondence.
We do not.
No correspondence? You're up, Jim.
Oh, wait, do we have, Mike have a report?
Oh, Mike, I thought you were going to get away. Sorry.
I'm actually still sitting in the car, so I don't have anything with me. I imagine Patrice talked about 7 Loomis.
Yes, he did.
And I, you know, have some, you know, moving forward on just some of the really slow, lumbering enforcement issues that we've been dealing with. But as I think I've said before, if they're making some progress in the forward direction, we try to tolerate that as long as possible because we don't have a heck of a lot of options. One project that we're trying to figure out what to do with that was permits were applied for after the fact. So working through that. I was talking with Rich McKinnon, and it seems like he's gearing up to take the CASIO training, which will be in May. So he'll be working through the enforcement certification process to put me out of a job. I think that's the heart of it for now, at least.
Okay, I didn't want you to feel left out.
Don't worry, I'll never feel left out.
Okay, no problem.
Hey, Jim, before you do that, I do have a question for Mike.
Okay.
Just a small follow-up. Hey, Mike, I'm not sure. Do you have an update for the improvement work that's supposed to be going on in the spring for the Dollar General? I recall we reduced the site bond, and there were some lingering outstanding things that needed to be taken care of. I think it was more like plants and things of that nature. You know when that's supposed to resume?
If I remember correctly, and Patrice can correct me if I'm wrong, we were basically going to regroup when we got into the growing season, because as it stands, even right now, it's hard to tell what's dormant and what's dead. Okay. So they're going to go, and we're going to basically meet on site once things start to green up and determine what made it and what didn't.
Perfect.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Second, Arlene. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. The meeting is adjourned at 8:22 p.m.
Tom, before you, I will stop it here.